The following program is classified PG. It contains adult themes. The Generic Live Show recommends parental guidance for young viewers. Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, thanks for joining us with... This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. So good for you to be here. I'm flying solo and we've got a bit of news for you to get through. This evening we'll get to all of that in about 30 seconds. To start off the show, we've actually got a bit of a depressing story to get to. But before we get to all of that, I want to thank. We had kind of a guest double feature on the last couple of episodes. I want to thank Thomas Humphreys and Maddie and Carl for joining us here on the show, actually, because they are friends of the show and they gracefully joined us for 2 weeks. So Thomas Humphreys, Maddie Benedetti, and Carl Burns, if you're hearing this, thank you for joining us here on the show. If you want to actually be on the show, you can email in thechefwonder@gmail.com. We've got some more exciting guests coming up here towards the end of the year. We've got actually a bit coming up towards the end of the year. I want to sit down and I don't want to do it. I want to announce everything outside of the show because I think announcing everything that I have coming up, I need some time to A, polish off what I'm actually doing to the end of the year, and B, it'll just distract too much from the rest of the show if I do it inside the show. So stay tuned for the next couple of weeks, a week or two, probably two at max, to see what I'm fully doing here on the Generic Live Show towards the end of the year. But I just wanted to give that a quick shout out to Thomas, Maddie, and Carl for being on the show the last couple of weeks. Now, as we get started here on a Sunday, if you haven't heard already, there have been yet another couple of police officers on citizen kind of altercations, I think is probably the better word for them, in the last week. Two, in fact. One that we'll kind of focus on here, mainly because there are two that happened. One that happened in Charlotte that's a little bit more complicated and needs some time to unpack, and I've got thoughts on them. And another one that happened in Oklahoma, I believe it is. I could not find much on that one, but from what I understand, and of hearing about it on talk radio and what have you, what I understand of it is kind of, it involved a police officer that did do the wrong thing and has been dealt with accordingly. So I think that officer has been kind of disciplined in a way that I think is kind of right for them to be disciplined. But this one in Charlotte kind of involves more protesting and that sort of thing. As always, it kind of comes along with these sorts of events, kind of protesting, kind of goes in hand to hand with this sort of violence. Now, the kind of the backstory of it all is protesters took to the street after Keith Scott, a 43-year-old, was shot and killed by Charlotte Mecklenburg officer Bentley Vineson, who was also African American, after that Scott was mistaken for a wanted man. Police said officers went to a Charlotte apartment complex around 4 p.m. looking for a suspect with an outstanding warrant when they encountered Scott, who was not the suspect they were looking for, inside a car. There is video here. I'll let that play out. It's from The Guardian. I'll let that kind of explain the situation a lot more. Do we have that up? We don't have that up. Okay. According to the department spokesperson Keith Teeley, officers saw the man get out of the car with a gun, then back in. When officers approached the car, the man got out of the car with the gun again. At point, officers approached the car. The man got out of the car with the gun again. At that point, officers deemed the man a threat and at least fired a weapon, he said. A weapon was recovered by detectives at the scene. I really want to get this... really want to get this video up because it provides so much of the backstory, so much better than what I can do it justice. If we don't get the video up, that's not an issue. It's not the issue, but I really do want this video up.
Demonstrators in Charlotte, North Carolina, shut down a stretch of Interstate 85 early Wednesday during protests over the fatal police shooting of a black man. Video appears to show people looting stopped trucks and burning the contents on the freeway. Earlier, protesters clashed with police. Authorities say at least 12 officers were hurt and that some marked police cars were destroyed. Police used tear gas to break up the crowd. This was sparked by an incident Tuesday afternoon when Charlotte police officers, looking for a suspect, encountered a man named Keith Lamont Scott. Police say Scott got out of his car with a gun and then got back in.
One of the officers felt a lethal threat and fired his weapon because of that.
A woman who says she is Scott's sister but didn't give her name says police got it wrong.
They jumped out their truck. They said, hands up. He got a gun. He got a gun. Pow, 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 pow. That's it. He had no gun. People are calling my phone saying that your brother had a gun. He had no gun.
He didn't have no gun.
The officer who fired the shot has been placed on administrative leave. Detectives recovered a gun at the scene and are interviewing witnesses.
That is a reporter from The Guardian. Now, the update on the story as we kind of bring this show to you a little 7:09 here on a Sunday evening. Video here that kind of tells a different story from the police department's perspective. Here is Chief Kerr Putney. Here is his addressing the media here.
The subject, Mr. Keith Lamont Scott, inside a vehicle at the apartment complex. He exited the vehicle armed with a handgun. The officers observed him get back into that vehicle, at which time they approached the vehicle. The officers gave loud, clear, verbal commands, which were also heard by many of the witnesses. They were instructing the subject, once he got out of the vehicle, to drop the weapon. He stepped out, posing a threat to the officers, and Officer Brentley Vinson subsequently fired his weapon, striking the subject. Later on in the evening, early this morning actually, about 1:45 this morning, an additional group of protesters and agitators gathered. They made their way down to Interstate I-85, and they blocked both lanes, northbound and southbound. They broke into the back of a tractor trailer and started setting items on fire. As of right now, we have 16 officers who've been injured. We have multiple police vehicles that have been damaged. And our officers, acting heroically, were just trying to de-escalate the situation and resolve it as peacefully as possible. It's time to change the narrative. Because I can tell you from the facts that the story is a little bit different as to how it's been portrayed so far, especially through social media.
That is the police chief on Wednesday after the riots had kind of this spurred. Now, I don't like to do this on this show simply because we try to be a
new KFC cola barbecue
family. There you go, a family-friendly show. But I think it is important for the whole story about an hour ago, and I will be putting kind of a warning at the top of the show in podcast form, so live listeners, you will get plenty of heads up as to what's coming next. I think for analysis of this show, I mean, I'm prefacing this really, really much. The police, Charlotte police, have released the actual body cam footage from the actual scene of the crime. This audio may offend some people. It is quite graphical in nature, and it does have a bit of language in it. We'll try and censor as much as we can, but we can only do so much we can do. This video, again, quite graphic and profanity. It's from the scene of that shooting between Mr. Scott and the police officer in Charlotte. There doesn't seem to be any audio in the video here.
Legacy, he's gripping
his hands.
Hey, somebody get my bag and start getting some equipment.
Where's your bag?
You good? Just take the back of my truck.
You good?
I'm good. Get some gloves. We need to hold the wound.
So the video is playing now. To kind of describe this for audio listeners and video listeners, I suppose they are hovering around Mr. Scott's, what I assume is Mr. Scott's car here. We'll just let this video play out, well, the audio from it anyway. The standoff continues. Those gunshots you just heard were the fatal ones.
We got shots fired, one suspect down, Legacy Court.
Turn
the way, y'all 10-4. All officers at 10-4, we got one suspect down.
10-4, you got 10-4.
And the video continues saying suspect down. Now, okay, this is kind of happening all too often. Now, I understand that there could... I'm not too up on American police, but there is probably obviously protocol that if there is kind of... There's mechanisms, but... The person wasn't doing anything wrong. He may have had a gun, but he wasn't doing anything wrong. So, and I understand that the police officers have to kind of defend themselves in cases like this, but I think the one thing that's kind of inexcusable here is it doesn't matter about politics or anything at this point in time. It's more so the point of, well, you've got to think for the fact that it's, you have to think for the fact that, it, you know, these people kind of, this guy didn't do anything wrong. That's what's seriously coming down to. This person didn't do anything wrong. And yes, he had a gun and the police officers had their right to shoot. He had a gun, and that's proved in the video. You know, you can go have a look at the video if you so desire to. It's out there. We played you the audio of it. But, yeah, he had a gun. The police officer shot him fatally. Now, the issue, and the reason why we're not playing anything from Barack Obama or anything like that is that audio doesn't exist. That audio does not exist. I mean, current presidential candidates have made comment on these issues, but the current president has not made a comment about this. And there's just so many hurtful things about this story all the way around that I don't know how I feel about it. This is one of these complicated things that I don't know how to feel about in this isolated situation. You've got to look at these situations as they come. You can't preemptively say, oh, we've got to feel about this because we're robots. No, that's not how it works. You've got to look at the facts of the story, then make judgments from there. In the judgment of this case, should he be shot? Not necessarily, because he wasn't causing any harm with the gun, but he refused to obey officers' orders before putting down the gun. You heard it in that clip. But in playing the other side for a second here is playing the other side of the coin. Shooting the guy was kind of should be the last resort, and I think shooting people has become the norm. It's just become the norm. When it became the norm, I have no idea. And this is probably this is probably one of the segments that's going to go down in history. It's probably one of the most controversial GLS's history, particularly these next couple of minutes here as I kind of unpack this story. As to say, you know, this video is shocking. These events are shocking. These events are tragic. But we're still going to be in the rut here because this behavior has become the norm. It's become normal to do this. That's not it. By the way, that's not in air quotes. That is legitimately it. This has become normal to do this sort of stuff. And we've seen it over and over and over again. It's become routine. I can nearly guarantee, I'm 99% sure that it's not trained like this. People aren't trained in this way to kind of combat sort of violence and, you know, combat violence and combat this sort of behavior like this. in training, but out on the field, it's become what I like to call, and I'm studying HR, and you got to think from a HR perspective looking at this story. I think that this whole situation that had been played out in other areas of America and other places of the world, this has become, tragically for people's lives, best practice. Now, for the police officers, it's kind of, well, our lives are at risk. We don't know, we can't control the other person in this situation. And I understand that wholeheartedly. You can't tell what someone else is thinking unless you are a psychic, which, yeah, prove me 100, introduce me to someone who can 100% know what I'm thinking all of the time. I'd like to meet that person. That person, give me a call, let's meet up, and you can 100% correctly guess what I'm thinking. But what's to say that this person wasn't going to shoot up 1,000 people with that gun? 1,000 people, that would be. But you get the general idea. It's the human aspect. We'll continue to unpack this, because there's a lot more to unpack here. But I think, for now, these events still are tragic. And it's become normal. It's become best practice. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, we'll continue unpacking that story in the second hour of the program. But coming up next, a story that we kicked off last week, the Australian same-sex plebiscite. The No campaign is kicking up a stir. We'll tell you all about it as we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us, 9:21. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here. It's the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell, flying solo tonight. Yeah, that's right. We're back with only me. It's good to be here, though. I will clarify my opinions in the second half of the program. Don't worry, folks. Put a little bit heavy there at the beginning of the show. Didn't mean to. Try not to get heavy in the first segment, but I feel like it's sometimes necessary in times like these when something so big happens that lasts for about 3 days. Can't help but kind of make sure it kind of gets its own sort of airtime that it needs. Speaking of something that kind of gets airtime that it needs, a story that kind of, myself, Maddie, and Carl kind of picked up last week is this same-sex marriage plebiscite. And the No campaigners against it have already started with their campaign. Ba-da-ba-ba. All right. Campaigners against same-sex marriage are using the image of the late anti-Atharid icon Nelson Mandela and pushing the false claim that marriage equality will trigger the quote-unquote compulsory adoption of the Safe Schools program in all Australian schools. Ba-da-ba-ba-ma. Actually, I've got something more. I got something more kind of relevant for that. I've got something coming up. Here we go. Ready? Ready? This seems more appropriate for that. Not necessarily, because they're not the same thing. Leaflets distributed in Sydney this week by a group known as quote-unquote Children's Future claim to change the Marriage Act will have, quote, more consequences than people realize, unquote, and leads to, quote, unsafe schools, unquote. The radical safe schools, quote, the radical safe schools content will be compulsory in all schools, and anti-discrimination laws will be passed against parents who object, unquote. The group claims in a leaflet distributed around the Horsby area. The leaflets also claim schools will be forced to teach all sexual orientations in sex ed. Well, thank God also, first of all. Second of all, think about the mechanics of that and then get back to me. The use of Mandela, who in the leaflet quote said having, quote, children are the greatest treasure, they are our future, unquote, will likely further inflame tensions between the gay community and the no campaigners. Mandela was the first African leader to outlaw discrimination based on sexual orientation through a change to South Africa's constitution in 1997, and appointed Edwin Cameron as the first openly gay judge to the country's high court in 1994. One up, ma, ma, again, sad trombone. MP3. Yes, I feel like it's a nice try. I mean, I gotta give it points for trying though, right? Simply because Nadella appointed a gay judge, and they're using it as a anti. Yeah. Anyway, I don't understand. I really don't understand. But hey, you know, let the games begin. I guess I wanna.
New KFC Cola.
I really wanna see this. Ah la la la.
How? It might just be our most finger-licking good chicken.
Is that coming from there? By the way, I want to mention.
Is on the world's number one job site. Indeed, how
not
the world
actual
works.
Sponsors, but here we go. This is the famous moment we all
if
remember.
If more people were married and there were fewer divorces, if there was something we could do to make families happier, it would be a wonderful thing. We know that the breakdown of the family unit is that one of the great causes of hardship, of poverty, of so many of our social ills. So we are a party, we are a government, and I'm sure the opposition joins with us on this. We are a parliament committed to marriage, and we are committed to people supporting each other and sticking together. And sticking together and working hard and supporting their children and their families and enabling their dreams. And that is why I support same-sex marriage. David Cameron summed it up very well some years ago when he said, I support same-sex marriage not despite being a conservative, but because I am a conservative, because we value commitment. So that is where I stand. That is where Lucy stands. And when the plebiscite is held, we will be voting yes. But there are many other Australians who are equally filled with love, equally respectful of gay couples, equally respectful of the families of gay couples, of same-sex couples, who will, in thoroughly good conscience, vote no. And they will do so not because they disrespect gay couples, not because they disrespect the couple that was in the house yesterday with their little boy. They'll do so because of a deeply felt conscience. It is a matter of conscience, and we should respect it.
That's the moment last week that Malcolm Turnbull handed down the plebiscite. As we continue here on the Drag Live Show for a Sunday. Well, a story that was also covered on the Geekio Show. We want to unpack it, kind of have its own sort of segment. Want to unpack it. Yahoo hacks Fallout. Over 14,000. Was it 14,000? That's not right. That number I have in here, 500 million. Why did I have 14,000 in here? That's not correct. 500 million Yahoo accounts. Yahoo accounts got hacked in 2014, and we're just finding out about it. Something's dodge as we continue here on the Jack Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's the Jack Live Show with Dale Campbell. 9:32. 9:33, because it just ticked over. 9:33. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's good to be here on a Sunday. That's right. Ooh, yes. Riding solo, by the way, at the bottom of the hour. Also, I want to thank our special guests that we've had over the last 2 weeks, Thomas Humphreys, Maddie, and Carl. Want to thank them very much for coming on the show. It's kind of like a double feature there. A double feature that we kind of had. It's good. It's good. Also, got some very, very special announcements. I'll probably have all the details nutted out by end of this week, but definitely by either this week or next week, I'll sit down and kind of tell everyone what I've got. I'm teasing an announcement, by the way. There you go. It's like a review of a review, but it's an announcement of an announcement. So, yeah, figure that one out. Also, something you need to figure out is Yahoo. I want to see if I can... What does Yahoo look like these days? I don't know what Yahoo looks like. You would think for some... Ooh, their shares are taking a hit, by the way. Oh, okay. Yahoo is dark. With their... Carl Stefanovic drops the biggest divorce hint yet. Oh. Oh, yeah, he took his ring off. Yeah. There you go. Carl Stefanovic is splitting up with his wife. A little bit of that on later on, though. I didn't need to go to Yahoo for my news sources. I get a lot of my news through different feeds that I'm subscribed to, plus Google News, the Facebook trending stuff. When I'm by myself, it's a lot... I don't want to say it's easier. I love having guests on the show and having their perspective. But I can kind of swap things out in and out. By the way, I want to mention, because of the trending things, I want to mention, though, we will get to Yahoo, but prayers go out to people in Forbes in New South Wales. As they are preparing for floods, they will have a peak flood at around midnight as the kind of main river kind of breaks their rural towns, power outages and sewage. But everything's, despite the flooding, the peak, the New South Wales SES are predicting lower peaks now than what they were earlier. Today, that is kind of the news in Forbes. That was this 36 minutes ago as we're going to air here. Prayers go out to the people in Forbes in New South Wales. Prayers go out to if you're in 500 million accounts that got hacked. By the way, this is business from Business Wire, an important message to Yahoo users on security. A recent investigation into Yahoo Inc. has confirmed that a copy of certain user information was stolen from the company's network in late 2014 by what it believed in a state sponsor's actor. The account information included names, email addresses, telephone numbers, dates of birth, and hashed passwords, the vast majority with bcrypt, and in some cases, encrypted and unencrypted security questions and answers. Yikes. The ongoing investigation suggests that stolen information did not include unprotected password, payment card data, or bank account information. Yahoo believes that information associated with at least 500 million user accounts was stolen, and the investigation have found no evidence that state sponsors actor is currently in Yahoo's network. Yahoo is quickly working closely with law enforcement on this matter. Yahoo notified potentially affected users has taken steps to secure their accounts. These steps include invalidating unencrypted security questions and answers so they cannot be accessed in an account, and asking potentially affected users to change their passwords. Yahoo has also recommended that users who haven't changed their passwords since 2014 to do so. Yahoo encourages users to review their online accounts for suspicious activity and to change their passwords and security questions and answers for any other accounts on which they use or similar information used for their Yahoo account. I think that makes sense. The company further recommends that users avoid clicking on links, downloading attachments from suspicious emails, blah de blah de blah. Additionally, Yahoo asks users to use a Yahoo account key, a simple authentication tool that eliminates the need to use a password altogether. What is a Yahoo account key? I want more details on the Yahoo account key. Okay, so update your Yahoo account. Wow. I don't understand. You're not going to tell me what a Yahoo account key. You're going to make me sit through a 52-second video. And then you're in. Okay. So it sends a little code to your phone by the sounds of that jaunty audio. Thank you for that. That, righto. Online intrusions and thieves by state-sponsored actors have become increasingly common access through the technology industry. Yahoo and other companies have launched programs to detect and notify users when a company strongly suspects that a state-sponsored actor has targeted an account. Well, not since 2014, obviously. Any additional information is available at https://yahoo.com/security-update. You'd think that they, being Yahoo, you would know how to get rid of a dash in your URL. You can go to that page beginning at 11:30 Pacific Daylight Time on September 22nd. So, yeah, there you go from now. So, first of all, why is their company blog on Tumblr? But second of all, wow. Okay, what a mess. What a hot, hot mess. But I want to mention, though, in case you forgot, announced it earlier in the season that there was just 200 users were affected. This is also coming... excuse me. This is the same one. So they've just discovered somehow that 300 more million users were affected, more so than there already was with that sort of stuff. Yeah. In addition, this also major this news could also mean badness. Really, Dale? could jeopardize the 4.8 billion sale of Yahoo's core business to Verizon. So, Verizon told BBC it only learned of the hack within the last 2 days, like everyone else, adding it had limited information. So, yeah. You know, for me, I think having more than one password helps. Also, I think people should be doing this sort of stuff anyway, but I think that it just needs to, I think people need to wake up. In 2016, I'm on two sides of the coin here. First of all, I think these sorts of things happen in 2016. But in 2014, sorry, we're back 2 years, I forgot about that. But I think more so in 2016, people just need to be more mindset of this sort of behavior that goes on. Change your passwords, be more mindful of this sort of thing. But I think in theory, are you really safe? Are we safe right now? I'm not too sure. It screams of, you think of Yahoo too, no? I don't even think of the user, think of the Yahoo and the bad management when it comes to, you know, only finding out a couple of days ago that your systems just got hacked when, you know, it's been this long since it's come down on you that it's, you've only now having problems. You might want to look into something else there. I don't know how Yahoo's back systems are. Is it a back system issue? They're also being vague on all of this, by the way. They finally told us that 500 million people's accounts were accessed in late 2014. But realistically, what are their systems like in the back end? They must be pretty poor. And it just, I don't know. It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. Now, wanna also, there's something live going on. What's this live thing that's flashing up? Oh, Labour conference opens after Jeremy Corbyn re-elected as leader. Okay, that's going to be in the state of... That's in the state of... Where? Conference in Liverpool. Okay, that's in the UK. Okay, the UK. The UK conference opens after Jeremy Corbyn re-elected leader. This is in the UK. 9 minutes ago, he received an update. Heidi Alexander, who resigned as Shadow Health Secretary, was on Sunday Politics earlier. She said she would not be willing to return to the Shadow Cabinet. Ooh. Ouch. Here is a clip from... Here's a clip from Yvette Cooper, MP full reaction to John McDell's EP to refuse to apologise on the show today for comments about Aethra McVie. I'm so confused right now.
The thing I think they should do is we've got to have much stronger action against the minority of people who have got this abuse within the party.
Well, I want to ask you about that, because you very much welcomed what Jeremy Corbyn said about stamping down on abusive language. Yeah. John McDonnell said it was okay, because he was just expressing his honest views, in repeating that call that Esther McVeigh should be lynched.
It's not okay. It's really, really not okay. And people do say things in the heat of the moment.
But he should have apologised.
He should absolutely have apologised. The idea of saying that a woman MP, as Esther was at the time, should be lynched, I mean, it was just wrong. And, you know, to be fair to Owen Smith, when he said things during the summer, he apologised for them, and rightly so. You know, people sometimes say things that they regret. Apologise for them. Because if you don't, it sets a climate of hostility and abuse. I want John and Jeremy to use their social media accounts to challenge people in the party who are being abusive. I want us to have much stronger rules, much stronger enforcement. Everybody says that, you know, Jeremy says kinder, gentler politics. He says that he wants to not have any of that abuse. And I believe him, but he's got to show it through deeds and not words.
Ouch. Okay. Well, there you go. Labour conference opens after Jeremy Corbyn re-elected leader of the UK's Labour Party. There you go. All right. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, there's an interview. All right. We're going to play that after the break. Also, lots of interviews happening. Hillary Clinton goes on Zach Galifianakis's company's show. There is no video of this. There's no video. Okay. It's just a summary. Okay. Well, we won't play that interview then. But things get awkward between Clinton and Zach Galifianakis as Zach Galifianakis tries to host an interview show. It's comedy gold. We'll play it for you as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday with Dale Campbell, 9:51. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. So glad to be here. Thanks for joining us. So busy, busy Sunday it's turning into. I thought it was going to be quite a quiet Sunday, but no, here we go, jumping in with the Labour Party. We're following that story. Nothing really... really happened. I mean, apart from Hardy Alexandra resigning and the same person getting voted in as leader, then we've got these floods in Lord, drone footage in Lord, but yeah, just busy Sunday here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. So good to be here. Now, I'm a very awkward person. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of try and make this show entertaining where I can. But you would know when I have guests on, things get a little bit awkward. But this is comedy gold, even by my standards. Zach Galifianakis hosts the In Between Two Ferns show on Funny or Die, and his guest is Hillary Clinton. And some of these questions are just pure gold. I'm going to play some for you. Here's where it's at.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Hillary Clinton.
That just that alone, I think that is brilliant. I enjoy being awkward, but that This just takes it to a new level. Let's continue more.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Clinton, for being here. Critics have questioned some of your decision-making recently, and by you doing this show, I hope it finally lays that to rest.
Oh, I think it absolutely proves our case, don't you?
Are you excited to be the first girl president?
Well, I mean, being president would be such an extraordinary honor and responsibility. But being the first woman elected president and what that would mean for our country, and particularly what that would mean for, you know, not just little girls, little boys, too, that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Not to take away from the historic significance of you perhaps becoming the first female president, but for a younger generation, you will also become their first white president. And
this is true, though.
That's pretty neat, too. As secretary, how many words per minute could you type?
What type of question is that? And also, this next part, though, here's my favorite bit of the whole thing.
And how does President Obama like his coffee? Like himself? Weak?
You know, Zach, those are really out-of-date questions. You need to get out more.
What happens if you become pregnant? Are we going to be stuck with Tim Kaine for 9 months? How does this work?
I could send you some pamphlets that might help you understand.
First, you supported Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, and then you...
This next question's a little bit boring. So I love that question. So how does Barack like his coffee? Does he like his coffee weak, just like him? This is comedy at its best right here, folks. You can't get this anywhere else as a part of Between Two Ferns.
We're against it. I think that people deserve to know. Are you down with... When he's elected president and Kid Rock becomes Secretary of State, are you going to move to Canada? Or one of the Arctics?
I would stay in the United States.
And what would you try to...
Try to prevent him from destroying the United States.
So you're going to lead the Civil War?
No, I wouldn't take up arms. I think that might be a little extreme.
Oh, right. Because you were saying before we were rolling that you wanted to take away everyone's guns. Very cool. Cool, cool, cool.
I really regret doing this.
Any regrets over losing the Scott Baio vote?
Not a one.
So it wasn't heartbreaking that...
No.
Yeah, but Chachi. I mean, who's going to be next? Max Headroom? I'd love to meet the person who makes your pantsuits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because for Halloween, I wanted to go as a librarian from outer space.
I think that would be a good look on you.
Have you thought about what you're going to be wearing at the debates?
You know, there's this thing called the double standard, and so I think about, well, what should the first woman nominee of one of our two major parties wear to the debate? And I have no idea, so if you've got suggestions, I'm open to them.
Do you wonder what your opponent might be wearing? I mean,
I assume he'll wear, you know, that red power tie.
Or maybe like a white power tie.
That's even more appropriate.
When you went to Donald Trump's wedding, did he write his own vows? And did Michelle Obama write Melania's?
Couldn't see or hear very well, so I'm not quite sure what his vows were, but I'm sure they were great and huge and wonderful.
Like his bowels.
Oh, wow.
Chelsea, your daughter.
Okay, so the interview is like that all the way through, just monotone like that. But there's some comedy gold in there. Check it out. Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. Zach Galifianakis, if you're hearing this, which I doubt it very much, I want you to host GLS if I'm not here on a show. I want Zach Galifianakis to host. That would be brilliant. And I just want him to do interviews for the whole 2 hours and not have commercial breaks. Just have him do the whole show straight through for 2 hours. I could listen to more of that all day. Alas, we don't. We're back to reality. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Now, the beginning of first hour, we will recap what happened in Charlotte this week. You may have heard two different narratives. We'll break it down for you as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dale Campbell. This is GLS. We're heading into hour two. It's 10 o'clock.